Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, if you will. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 23 through 27. And when he was entered into his ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care about the things that we need? Does he care about our lives? In the reading of this text, we realize that Jesus has a great care. When the disciples were in dire need, Jesus stepped up, rebuked the winds and the sea. The winds and the sea obeyed him. Not only did he care, but he was able. He was able to stop the winds and the sea. He is able to do those things that he needs for us. Jesus and the disciples were in a boat sailing across the Sea of Galilee. A sudden storm came upon them and threatened to capsize them. This was in the days before there was a lake patrol, before the Coast Guard, before life vests. They woke Jesus up. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. He rebuked the winds and the waves. He showed true compassion for the disciples, not only for their physical safety, but spiritual as well. What does it mean to care? When we say, does Jesus care, what do we mean by that? It means to show a sincere concern, that he wants to know what's going to happen to you, what has happened to you, and whether you're going to make it okay. To ask if someone cares is to ask if someone loves. Love is not to be in word only, but in deed and in truth. Place your mark there at your Matthew text and turn with me to 1 John 3, verse 18. 1 John 3, verse 18 reads, My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What John's saying is, it's not enough to love in word. It's not enough to love with your tongue, to say the words, but it's your deeds that count. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. When someone cares, they go beyond mere words and act upon their love. Jesus is the greatest example we have of someone who truly cared for others. Does Jesus care about life's necessities? About the things that you need? About whether you fed this morning? Or whether you have shelter from the storms as we have needed this morning? Does he care? Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Excuse me, I was in the wrong book. Happens sometimes. Should have an appointment soon to get my eyes checked, and I think they need to be. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Does God care about the poor? Well, he tells us as Christians that when we make a feast, not to do it just to people who can, not to invite just people that can repay us, but to those that cannot because of their poverty. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. We turn there, remembering Acts 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Mark 8, verses 1 through 9. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them, so they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Jesus, in performing this great miracle, shows to us his care for those that were out in the wilderness following him, looking for the bread of life. He gives them physical bread so that they might eat and be filled. He cared about them. I often wonder what we think about the Lord's care today. Is it comparable to his care out in the wilderness? Or did Jesus just do it to give a miracle to amaze people? Or did he do it because he really cared about them? And so we think, does he care about us? I think the only conclusion that we can come up with is that he is God and that he cares for people that are under his care. So, when we think today, is he going to care for us if we step out in faith in some great venture? Suppose we want to become a missionary and go to Latin America and pick up on work done before. Will he care about us? Will he do that which he said he would do? Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. In that great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke to convince his audience that day that God does care for people. Verse 24 through 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we drink? What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We wonder about people's words sometimes. We give our word that we'll pay back a debt. Need a new car, so we go in and sign a note. Need a house, and so we go sign our names about 100 times until the mortgage is all every T is crossed and every I is dotted. We sign a bunch of times, and then we have to pay back that which we have promised. Jesus makes a promise here. Does Jesus care? He says, keep first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yes, Jesus cares about our life's necessities. He proved it often in his ministry. And he's proved it often. I've heard many people say near the end of their life, talking about some of the bad things that they've gone through. And do they ever tell me? I couldn't see where God was with me during those bad times. No. It's always that God was there. That you could see his workings in their life. That they didn't go hungry because they knew that God was with them. Perhaps they are a reader of the book. Perhaps they have great experience. I don't know. But Jesus gave his promise. I know what David said. He said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Does Jesus care about us and our life's necessities? Indeed he does. How about our loved ones? Has he ever shown care for the people that we care about? We know he cared about godly parents and their well-being. We know that he cared about his own mother and her well-being. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. That which Jesus said, John understood. And so the effects of Jesus' words were that John understood that this was someone that he had to care for. I don't know why Jesus didn't leave her in the care of his brothers and sisters, of which he had several. But he wanted to make sure that she was cared for. There was John, right close at hand. Care for her. He cared about his mother. Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, and let's expand on that a little bit. What he meant was a gift to the temple. That is, it couldn't be spent on anything else. Not that he actually gave it to the temple, but it is for the temple. So he couldn't spend it on his parents. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Now, Jesus knew about this characteristic of his society, and he wasn't content just to let it go by. But he pointed it out to them that this was wrong. Mother and father are to be cared for. Those that you have under your charge are to be cared for. That it's your responsibility. And if they can't do for themselves, you are to do for them. Jesus cares about your parents, even if we may not. Jesus does. We know he cared about children. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer or allow little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. My very first funeral was to a stillborn baby. And the people there needed comfort. They really did. There was open bawling. It was at an outdoor service in this community place where they had a tabernacle and a cemetery. And I preached to them. What could I say to them to comfort them? In this society where certain people feel that when you're born in sin, and if you haven't had God's grace or God hasn't chosen you in some way, then you're lost and are going to hell. But what could I tell them? Jesus loves their children, even if the doctrines that we find in the world do not. Jesus loves them. Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now try to fit this in. Of the kingdom of heaven are those lost in sin and depraved, as the doctrine teaches. No, you can't say that. You can't even think that. Looking at this passage, Jesus loves your children. They may pass from this life before you do, but it's into the arms of loving arms of Jesus. He laid his hands on them and departed thence. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, commands parents to love their children. That's Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, through Titus, commanding us to love our children. We know he cared for those who had lost loved ones. Mark chapter 5, verses 35 through 43 is the story of Jairus' daughter. Do you remember that one? Jairus comes to Jesus, and my daughter, if you'll come, she will live. But while they were on the way, there was another miracle to perform. He was delayed a little bit, and she was pronounced dead when they got there. But Jesus went in to her and told the father not to worry, and said, "Damsel, I say to thee, arise." And she arose and was comforted greatly. You remember the death of Lazarus, John 11? It's a long chapter. We won't read it all here. The death of Lazarus was such that Jesus used it to show his great care for his friends and for Lazarus. He even wanted to show his disciples and those around the power of God to comfort them as well. "I am the resurrection and the life," he says. You want to know about a resurrection, you go to Jesus. You want to know about love, you go to Jesus. That's where you'll find it. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. He spoke words of comfort to them. Then he went out to the grave of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." He had been dead 4 days. And yet his power was such that Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom, heard him, came back to his body, and lived on this earth to the end of his life. He knows, we know that he cares for loved ones. Does Jesus care about our salvation? Many people don't believe that they have a salvation need. Now, we use the word need loosely sometimes. I need a Coke. You don't need a Coke. You want a Coke, maybe really bad. Don't look at me like that. You want one. You say you need one, but you don't really need it. What do we truly need in this life? Jesus wants us to have things. Does he care about our salvation? We need salvation because we're apart from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 tells us that we are apart from God because of our sins. He has turned his face away from us because of our sin. But Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We like to hear about that, "all these things shall be added unto you." But there's responsibility that goes into that. Seek first the kingdom of God. These are things that we need. John 11, verses 26 and 27. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, But because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. We think we need food, and I guess we do to a point. We do, not as much as we think we do, but we need salvation. We need the bread of life, and Jesus has it for us. Came to this earth to die for us so that we might partake of the bread of life. That we might be touched with the blood of Jesus and be saved. Yes, Jesus wants the poor to be cared for, but he wants them to have the gospel as well. In fact, that's his first priority. Matthew 11, verse 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He says to those that are inquiring from John the Baptizer. Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What were his priorities? Did he want the people to be fed? Yes, he did. Did he want your family to be cared for? Yes, he did. Did he want you to be prosperous? Yes, he did. But he wanted you to be saved. Saved first and foremost. Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. Jesus cares about our loved ones, but not at the expense of our own souls. Matthew 10, verse 27. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. More than anything else, this is what Jesus desires for us. Salvation of our souls. What a loss if we are fed and ultimately lost. What a loss if our parents are taken care of, but then we and they both are lost. What a tragedy if everyone has what they need, but not what they need with regard to salvation. More than anything else, Jesus wants us to be saved. We can know that because he gave his life so that we could be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. We turn to some very serious words by the Apostle Paul as he proclaims Jesus Christ. He gives us reasons to love Christ even more, and the Father that sent him, proclaiming the reasons why Jesus was sent. Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We don't use that word commendeth much, or commend, but you know what it means if you have ever had a banquet in your house. You've told people, you know, this is really good. When you come to my table, you've got to try this. You've got to try that. You're going to be filled tonight. We've got food and drink ready for you, and it's aplenty. That is the act of commending. That this is what you need. This is what will please you. God commendeth his love toward us. God shows, recommends, his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this must come before anything else in our life, family, friends, work, recreation, football games, whatever else it might be that's keeping you from God, all those things must be eschewed. This doesn't mean we don't care about them, or that Jesus didn't care about them. It seems simply that there are priorities that must not be compromised. Some things are just first. Even our own life must be sacrificed. It if it would mean loss of our eternal soul. Matthew 10, verse 28 proclaims the tragedy. If we gain everything, if we gain the world, but lose our own soul. Matthew 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I knew a preacher. He had been a missionary in Africa. He was about 60 years old. He came back to the States and he was doing local work, but he was always thinking of going back. He even said so to his widow that she should keep the dust off of those suitcases because they're going to be needed pretty soon. But he's about 60 years old and he contracts cancer. This is someone who has, since the 1950s, and he died in the 90s, I think. Since the 1950s, he has been taken a slow trip across the Atlantic to Africa. The first time they went, they were trying to go as economically as they could. And they found a freighter going across. He said, "It was the longest month of my life. It took a whole month to get across there. Never again. It's only 48 hours to anywhere on the planet by plane." And so that long month at sea didn't seem so economical anymore. And he could have preached many, many sermons by that time. And that was his true need. He goes across. He plants churches in places called Tanganyika, which is now Tanzania, and Malawi, and it was a different name before then as well. Places of that nature where we can't even imagine going. And places where there's still no internet, still no electricity or phone. He was there planting churches. And then at age 60, he gets cancer. And he says, "Why me?" He lives with it a while. And he says, with humility, "Why not me? I'm not better than anybody else." But the tragedy is not in that he died when he is 60. The tragedy is, what if he lived until 60 and he had never done anything for the Lord? What if he had apostatized later? That would have been the tragedy, losing your soul while gaining other things. Does Jesus care? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, words that I think need to be stamped on all of our hearts, where Jesus gives this incredible invitation. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Does Jesus care? He cares about your life necessities. He cares about your loved ones. He cares about your salvation. How much more could he care? The thing is, he has a plan. A plan for all those needs. And he wants to apply them to you, but first salvation. Is your soul's need covered today? Have you come to Jesus? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. If we can assist you in your obedience, if we can pray for you since you've become a Christian and you've fallen from the good way, if we can assist you in any way with your soul's salvation, won't you come and sit up on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?